بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فسعوا إلى ذكر الله. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: العين حق، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين وشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected listeners, Alhamdulillah, we are now on lesson number 74 concerning wisdom of actions. And in this lesson, I would like to try and conclude the wisdoms by stating the laws of Azan and Iqamat, so that we have this discussion rounded up by learning some of the laws and rules and regulations about Azan and Iqamat. The legal status of Azan and Iqamat. It is Sunnah and Muqidah to call out the Azan for the 5 times daily Salah. Similarly, it is Sunnah and Muqidah to call out the 2 Azans and 1 Iqamat for Jummah. It is not Sunnah to call out the Azan for any other Salah. It is against the Sunnah to call out the Azan for Janazah Salat, Witr Salat, Eid Salat, Salat al-Kusuf, or Salat al-Tazbih, or Salat al-Hajat, Salat al-Istikharas, Tayyatul Wuzu, Tayyatul Masjid, Salat al-Istisqa, Tahajjud, Ishraq, Chast, Awabin, and other Sunnat and Nawafil Salat. So Azan and Iqama are only for the 5 daily Salat, and 1 Iqama for Jummah. In Hidayah it is written, Azan is Sunnah for the 5 daily Salat. It is not Sunnah for any other Salah. This method has come down from the era of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from the time of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is called Tawatur in action. We must understand this concept, and it is a proof in Shariat, that there are a lot of things that we prove by tawatur action. For example, people these days want to know where it is clear cut written and where it is that we have to wear the hat or we have to keep a beard. Forget the academic discussions, and which are available on my website alislam.co.za, where we prove from the Quran and the Sunnah and the Hadith and the Sahaba that it is wajib to keep a beard, and it is necessary to adorn the hat, that this is part of the shiar of Islam. But if you just have to worry about tawatur action, for example, if people are going to lengthy discussions about 20 rakats of Tarawih Salat, then Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that if we look at tawatur action, then 20 rakats is proven. In fact, what Arab scholar has written about Tarawih Salat and Tawatur action, that from the time of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in both the Harams, Tawatur of 20 rakats has come down, that there is no doubt in it. Just like the things which are obvious, you don't keep stating it. That you don't state that 124,000 Sahaba, the males had beards. You don't keep recording all this. And you don't say that they were wearing kurtas or hats. Why? Because this was obvious and natural. Tawatur action is an important proof in Sharia. So, yeah, Sahib Hidayah uses a proof of Azan Azan is sunnat for the 5 times daily salat. It is not sunnat for any other salah. Why? Because this has come down from the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is called tawatur in action. Now, people will deny this, and they will deny the tawatur action because in reality they want to become free thinkers. And this free thinking has caused a lot of ruin for us. And as a result, people destroy their akhirat. We should be very cautious about this and not adhere to the whims and fancies of these free thinkers and modernists who want to discard the beard, the hat, the kurta, the sunnah, the miswak, and the trousers above the ankles. They say all this is the mullah's Islam or the mullah's sunnah, whereas this is proven easily and categorically from Islamic text. Dhurra Mukhtar says, Azan is sunnat, a muqidah, for the 5 times daily salat. It is not sunnat for any other salat. Azan and ikama is not sunnat a muqidah upon every person. It is sunnat a muqidah alal kifaya. So for example, etikaf. Etikaf is sunnat a muqidah alal kifaya. Not like what we have got these days, that everyone wants to try and rush off to go and sit in etikaf. And sadly, we have to admit that nowadays when you have too many people sitting for etikaf, then the object and the purpose of etikaf seclusion and focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and contemplating on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meditation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that falls off. Then it becomes eating, sleeping, talking, laughter, etc. Similarly, the azan and ikama, they are sunnat and muqidah alal kifaya. So if one person from the town or one person from the village calls out the azan, then the sunnat will be considered to be done on behalf of the entire town or village. Shami says, if this was not the meaning of sunnat kifaya, then it could have been sunnat upon everyone to call out the azan. However, this is not the case, because the azan of the locality suffices for everyone. When is azan sunnat a muqidah upon the people of every locality? If the azan of one locality cannot be heard in the next locality, then it will be sunnat a muqidah upon every locality to call out the azan. Shami says, it is apparent that all the people of the locality hear the azan. It is the azan. If it is the azan of another locality, then this sunnat falls off them. And if they do not hear it, then this sunnat does not fall off them. So if you are now working in an area and you cannot hear the azan, then you should give the azan, and then you should give the ikamat and make your salat. Azan for tahajjud. Azan is not prescribed for tahajjud. Hazrat Ibrahim Nakhai Rahmatullah Alayhi says that Hazrat Alqama Rahmatullah Alayhi came with us in order to bid us farewell. He heard someone calling out the azan at night. This person is going against the way of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. If he was sleeping, it would be better for him. And when the time of Fajr comes, he gives azan. The azan that Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to call out at the night time of Sehri in the era of the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was not for Fajr and it was not for Tahajjud. People do not understand this properly, that Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he should give the azan. It was not for Fajr azan, it was not for Tahajjud azan. Then for what it was? It was to inform the people of the time of Sehri in the month of Ramzan. So it was a speciality during that time, and it was to inform the people of the time of Sihri, and it was to inform them that they should now know that Sihri time has commenced and has started. So alhamdulillah, we can understand from this that there are certain things for certain times, and we know that Azan has been stipulated for the five daily Salah. And now there is one, because we see this and we should be informed about this, that turning during Iqamat, some people say that it is masnoon to turn during the Iqamat. The correct view, however, is that it is not masnoon to turn during the Iqamat. Many people, unfortunately, they want to turn during the Iqamat. There is no harm in turning. This view has been classified as the most balanced by Allah Muhammad Amin Shami in his work. The Iqama is unlike the Azan in few aspects. From amongst them is placing the fingers in the ears. According to a reliable opinion, it is not masnoon to place the fingers in the ears during Iqama. Similarly, there is no turning. In the same way, there is no salat is better than sleep in Iqama. So we should know that it is best not to turn, because there are about three views regarding turning. One view is not to turn. This is because Iqama is an announcement for those who are present, in conflict to Azan, which is an announcement for those that are not present. Second view is, if the masjid is big, then the muezzin should turn, otherwise not. Third view is to turn in every instance, whether the place is wide or not. The third view is liked by the author of Dhurre Mukhtar. However, we should understand that it is not masnoon to turn during the Iqamat period. And alhamdulillah, the closer we come to the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, closer we come to the ways explained to us by the fuqaha, then we will attain success. Also, another discussion is when the person must stand up. People make such an issue of this, and then they divide themselves into groups. To stand up when the Iqama starts, it is mustahab for the muqtadis to stand up and straighten the rows when the Iqama commences. The straightening of the rows is necessary and very important. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to personally give a lot of attention to this. Here Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to severely reprimand those who were negligent and inattentive towards it. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to warn people of the punishment of Allah. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala who reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, straighten your rows. Indeed, straightening the rows is part of the establishment of Salat. Because this is what exactly you hear the Imams of the Haram say this. As-suhuf min ikam salah, fa inna suhuf, inna taswiyatu suhuf. That verily straightening the rows is part of the establishment of salah. That is why now you should try to, as soon as the ikama is called, then you straighten the rows. What this means is that the completion of rows, making them equal and straight, is necessary for the establishment of Salat, which the Quran refers to in many places. Hazrat Numan bin Bashir says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to straighten our rows when we used to stand up for Salah. When we were standing straight, he should commence the Salah. Hazrat Numan bin Bashir radiallahu ta'ala also says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to straighten our rows to such an extent that it was as if he was straightening his arrows by means of the rose. He, Rasulullah ﷺ, did this until he saw that we understood the objective. After this, one day he came out of his room and stood to lead the salah. He was about to say the takbir when his eyes fell on a person whose chest was coming out of the row. He said, "Servants of Allah, straighten your rows, otherwise Allah will create differences amongst you." This means that if we do not straighten our rows, then your unity and closeness will be shattered and you will be split, which is worse than 1,000 punishments that came on the people before. A number of ahadith have been narrated regarding those who are negligent and who overlook straightening of rows and the punishment thereof stated. Without doubt, there is a special link between the mistake and the punishment of it. It is quite saddening to note that just like other aspects, this matter is also not given due consideration in certain places. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, the Jama'ah used to be ready, the Ikama used to be called out for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The people used to take their places before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to stand up at his place for Salat. So we learn from this that we, as soon as the Ikama is called, we must start standing up and not delay. It is quite apparent that Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala ajma'in, standing on their places before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could come to his place, is only possible if they stood up once the Ikama commenced. For this reason, it is mustahab and better that people stand once the Ikama commences. It is not appropriate to delay. However, if the rows are already straight and in order, then there is no problem if one sits for the duration of half the Ikama. Those jurors have been explained that people should stand once the muazzin calls are come out to success. The meaning is that there is no problem for the person who was sitting already at the time of Ikama. It is mustahab for him also to stand once the muazzin calls hayal salah, hayal falah, or the come to success. He should not delay longer than this. Alama Tahawi has written with regard to the meaning of standing when comes to salah, success has been called out. It is quite apparent that the meaning of this text is that they should not delay in standing up. The meaning is not that a person cannot stand before time. Consequently, there is no problem if a person stands up once the Ikama commences. Also, we should note the famous and accepted commentary of Tirmidhi, Ma'rifah Sunnah, states the meaning of standing when come to success is called out for the Imam and Muqtadi is that the Muqtadi who was seated in waiting before the Ikama, it is not necessary for him to stand immediately upon the commencement of Ikama. The meaning is not that it is not permissible to stand before coming to success is called out. Some people are adamant that they regard that if you stand up before come to success, then you are not from the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. And they make it a point of shiar between Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat and not Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, which is grossly erroneous. And it is necessary to sit down if one was standing and then wait for come to success and then stand up, even though there is a need to straighten the rows. Because they are adamant, they say, no, you only have to stand up when the muazzin says come to success. It is quite apparent that it is not possible to straighten the rows if the muqtadis do not stand. It is therefore necessary that the muqtadis stand up upon commencement of the Ikama or during the Ikama. This is because it is necessary and compulsory to straighten the rows, and it is part of the importance and completion of Salah. Because if everybody decides to stand up when you say come to Salah, come to success, then you are not going to have adequate time to straighten yourselves. There is no basis for the practice of those ignorant and deceived people who have not understood the correct meaning of the views of the jurist that have been recorded in their works. It is a proof of stupidity and ignorance for the imams to come and sit upon the musalla upon the commencement of ikama. Many places you go, that the imam, he comes and he sits on the musalla and he's waiting for come to success, then he'll stand up. And then he waits for the muazzin to reach come to success. And when the muazzin calls it out, then he stands up. There is no valid evidence for this illogical action. No one has brought forward even a lame proof for this until today. In fact, until the day of Qiyamah, no one will be able to bring forward a proof for this, that you have to stand when the muazzin calls the in the ikamat come to success. Also, what we should understand that during the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there was no lines, there was no demarcation of rows and safs in the masajids. So they should, as soon as the muazzin calls out, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam has insisted that the rows must be straight, otherwise shaitan gets in between and causes disunity. And disunity of the ummah is a great disaster. So what Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is instructing us, that we should stand early so that we can straighten our rows. Now in those days there was no lines or string or rope or demarcation of how you form the rows. Therefore they should spread their legs so that they should touch their feet or two feet. They should touch their feet, the legs, the bottom part, the ankle parts, etc., to the next musalli, so they can make a straight line. And once they had done this, then they should put their feet back into normal standing position and having a gap of four fingers between the two legs and both the feet facing the Qibla. People have not understood this. And still you'll find that they will stretch out their legs and cause inconvenience to themselves and the musalli nearby, because they have not understood proper shariat and they have not understood the reason why you had to spread your legs. So may Allah Ta'ala grant ability for us to understand why certain things are done. Now repeating the ikama, because alhamdulillah people go to the masjid, make salah, it is better to repeat the ikama if a sufficient amount of time has passed since the ikama was already called out, or the muazzin did some work which caused his location to change, like eating. If he spoke for a little while after calling out the ikama, or the imam and the muqtadi got involved in some work that did not cause them to change their location, for example, the imam did not perform the sunnah, salat, he performed it after the ikama was called out, or a muqtadi was performing salat in the first row behind the imam, they had to delay because of this, or the imam was not in the masjid when the ikama was called out, he came later, or the rows were straightened after the ikama were called out, then in all these cases the ikama should not be repeated. If the imam did not perform the sunnah salat of fajr and the muazzin has called out the ikama and there is sufficient time, then it is better that the imam performs the sunnat salat and then leaves the congregation. Now as far as the ikama itself is concerned, then when the ikama is called out, then we should repeat the ikama, because it is rewardable to repeat the ikama. And we should take every opportunity to get the benefit of repeating the ikama. Now the muazzin, what's his qualities? It is better that the muazzin be a person who is sane, mature, free and a male. He should be aware of the laws of azan and ikamat. He should also be pious, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala who narrates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best amongst you should call out the azan. And the muazzin, he should be a pious, rightful person with a good voice. He should know the knowledge of the times, and he should be appointed, and it will be permissible to pay the muazzin a salary. Alhamdulillah, we know that these days we have muazzin, but whether we pay them good, that's a different issue. And the muazzin should not be a fasik. A fasik is such a person who willfully commits a major sin or repeatedly commits a minor sin. It is explained in Qawaid al-Fiqh. According to the dictionary, a fasik is a person who does not obey the command of Allah. And the meaning of fisk in Shariat is for a Muslim to willfully commit a major sin or to repeatedly commit a minor sin without any explanation. In the light of this definition, every person who does a haram, forbidden action is a fasik, or a person who repeatedly does an action that is makruh tahrimi, for example, to leave out farz salat or fasting without any excuse. Similarly, to leave out Jummah without any excuse, because it is makruh tahrimi to do so. The reason for this is that a person who repeatedly leaves out Jummah is a fasik. However, if a person left out Jummah for some valid excuse, then he is not a fasik. The azan and ikamat of a fasik is makruh. However, it is not necessary to repeat the azan and ikama of a fasik. But definitely we should make every effort that we should not allow a fasik to come and give azan, and we should not allow a person to give azan who is not righteous and pious. We know that we should give it is mustahab for every individual, male or female, whether pure or impure, to answer the azan. And when the muazzin, for example, says Allahu Akbar, we say Allahu Akbar. When the muazzin says Hay ala salah, Hay ala falah, we say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And when the muazzin says As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, then we say Saddaka wa barraka. And we will be rewarded to such an extent that it is stated that our dua after that will be answered. It is mustahab to reply to the ikama, just as it is mustahab to reply to the azan. The method is that the listener should reply to every sentence of the muazzin with the same words. However, when he says Hay ala salah, Hay ala falah, the listener should say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. In answer to Qad qamati salah, the listener should say Aqamaha Allah wa adamaha. The following is stated in Zurra Mukhtar. Hazrat Abu Amama radiallahu ta'ala who narrates that Hazrat Bilal began the ikama. When he reached Qad qamati salah, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Aqama Allah wa adamaha. The other words of ikama were replied to by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as explained in the hadith of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So it is good that we reply to the ikama as well. Now there are instances that a person should not reply to the azan when having intercourse or while relieving oneself. The reason is that generally the satr is open at this time. It is also inappropriate to speak during that time. Otherwise, therefore, it will be all the more so not appropriate to reply to the azan in this condition. Those instances in which it is not necessary to reply to the azan. Number one, when listening to a dini lecture. Number two, when teaching and listening to a lesson of deen. Number three, when eating. However, if someone did reply to the azan, then definitely he will be rewarded. Now, it is not permissible to reply to the azan and ikama whilst a person is in salah. Replying to the azan during tilawah, it is mustahab for a person who is reciting the Quran to stop his recitation once the azan starts and reply to the azan. It is, however, not necessary to reply for the person who is memorizing the Quran or the person who is revising his previous lesson or is reasoning to memorize the Quran or a qari is practicing or making others practice a recital. It is not necessary to reply to the azan and ikama if one does not hear it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to practice upon the various methods of replying to the azan and also learn the laws of azan and the rules of regulation. It is mustahab to send salutations upon Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam upon commencing the azan. It is makruh to send salutations upon Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam upon commencing the azan because it is a bidah. That is explained in Tahawi. Ahsan al-Fatwa says the Sharia has explained that the place for durood is after the azan, not before the azan. After the azan, you read the durood, then you can read the dua. Allah Ta'ala will reward. We have translated a book of Mufti Muhammad Amin Palampuri, Ustad of Hadith with Darul Deoband, called Etiquettes of Azan and Ikama, Virtues, Laws and Proof. Inshallah, the hard copy will be available this year, 2011, and try to get it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ability to practice deen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.